Thank you, ladies.
Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. A little rainy earlier this morning, but it looks like it's going to be a fine day. Looks like all of you set your clocks ahead an hour, so we're all here. That's good. I'd like to welcome you all, and they're going to be, if they haven't already, passing out the attendance pads. They may already be in the pew, I'm not sure. But if you would register your attendance, pass it down to your neighbor in the pew there. Make sure you put 10:15 service on there. Right now, we're going to see if there are any first-time visitors here this morning. Anyone in the section to my left? Any first-time visitors here this morning? All right. Middle section. And section to the right. All right. We all know one another. Very good. We're going to go to announcements at this particular time. There are a lot of events happening. You got the barbecue supper coming up later in the month. There's a lot of things going on. Anybody need to... yes, Susan, go right ahead. O'clock Saturday morning?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like to come and help, I think it's a great opportunity.
All right.
And that would be around 9 o'clock.
Okay. Thank you, Deborah.
At least about to get that.
Yes.
About the barbecue on the 27th, there's a sign up sheet in the gym. We work the barbecue, we need to grow them. We also need people to make food, bathing, wiping, make the dirt to dish out that night, the dirt to stay up that night. And we also need items and signs. And the sign up sheet all over the gym, or if anybody would like to give a donation of money.
Alright. Anyone else? Any other now?
Next Sunday, Palm Sunday, our choir here will have our cantata at both services, known by the stars, and it's beautiful. And then also in the evening, our church will host the community cantata. The title of that one slips my mind right now, but it is also a beautiful an arrangement. And a number from the community are participating, but I believe it's only Sped and I from our church that are singing. So we need some of you to come, if you would, to listen, but also to act as greeters, as people from the community come in. Possibly we'd love to also need people to help park cars if there's that kind of response. But if you are interested in coming, it's next Sunday at 7, and you need to be here a little bit earlier to be greeter and possibly help park cars next Sunday.
All right, Melanie. Any other announcements? Anything else? A lot of things going on, like I said. So take note of what's been said this morning and also what's in your bulletin. At this time now, we're going to go to our prayer request. I'm sure there are prayers of praise. There are prayers of concern. Anyone that needs to be added or taken off the list, prayers this morning. Yes.
I'd like to begin by saying, I hope that all of you continue to pray for Melanie and so much for that wonderful arrangement of an old Indian. How sweet and intimate. And I would like to ask you to pray for a dear friend of mine's father. His name is Peter James Boyd. His boy is 76, and he will undergo colon surgery this Friday. He just discovered that he's got cancer of the colon and it's gone also to the liver, so please pray for him.
Okay. Any other prayers of concern this morning, or prayers of praise?
An update on my mother. She came through surgery on her neck to fuse what we thought was a fracture and then became an actual break in her spinal column. She came through that and everything's stable. She is now undergoing tests prior to kidney removal surgery, which should be sometime in the near future. But please thank you for all your prayer support through this last 2 weeks. It's been very difficult. We pray that the Lord's will be done in her life and that be with those who are caring for her. And then I have a special prayer request for Lizzie. She's got to drive back to St. Louis this afternoon. She looks like she's going to be heading into the storm line, so her mother is very nervous. He'll cover her his prayer as she goes.
Anyone else this morning?
8 o'clock service, Ms. Bell mentioned a relative, Mr. McClugg, M.C., capital C-L-U-G-G-A-G. Also, Don Everett will have some surgery tomorrow on his spine. And there was another one given on the way, somewhere along the way, and I have misplaced it. Maybe I'll remember it before the preaching time.
Okay. Anyone else? Prayers of praise or concern? Yes, sorry.
I'm very grateful to go with a recognized by the
saw a lot of riders yesterday. A lot of writers. Well, I'm glad you're here.
George Bohanna. Many of us know Mr. George. George Bohanna.
Anyone else this morning? Lots of names have been mentioned. If you have mentioned one of those names, please make sure that you write down the name so we can get the correct spelling on the index card in your pew. And when we pass the collection, please put it in there so we can get the correct spelling and put it in the bulletin. And I would ask that you pray for every one of those as often as you possibly can. That's the one thing that we can certainly help with, is the power of prayer. Right now, we're going to prepare ourselves for worship. If you would please join with me in bowing your heads for a moment of silence. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Amen. Worship this morning is printed in the left-hand side of your bulletin. It is responsive if you would join along with me. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion.
Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem.
Lo, your king comes to you.
Triumphant and victorious is he.
Humble and riding on a donkey.
On a colt, the foal of a donkey.
If you'll all stand and turn to number 173. All glory, laud, and honor.
All glory, laud, and honor to the Redeemer. To whom the lips of children lay sweet hosanna ring. Thou art the King of Israel, thou David's royal son, who in the Lord's name cometh, the King and blessed The body of angels are praising thee on high, and mortal men are with created faith reclined. The people of all Hebrews will come before thee. Our praise and prayer and anthem before thee we bring. To thee before thy presence lay faith and hymns of praise. To thee now my exalted, a melody we raise. Thou good and gracious.
Would you bow your heads and we'll pray together. Lord God, we come as your people. We've come from the various aspects of life, maybe from the four corners of the world, or at least from the four directions. And we come to unite our voices in offering praise to you. Lord, we remember that Palm Sunday years ago, as is recorded in your scriptures. And Lord, though we be 1 week off from what we call Palm Sunday this time, as we adjust for that, we pray that you would enable us to give praise and glory to you. Lord, we pray that you would be pleased with our offerings before you, be they in words, be they in music, at an instrument, or with our voices. Be they words read from your scripture, or be they gifts brought to your altar. Lord, we especially thank you for the aspect of this service that is to remember Jesus' death and resurrection. And Lord, prepare our hearts as we approach the table. Thank you for letting us come together in your name, for calling us together. And we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you.
We now express our faith in God with our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of your hymnal, or it's on the wall. You would join me in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Whatever burdens we have, we can leave here. Lord will forgive us of anything. And now we confess our sin. Our call to confession this morning is from Romans chapter 5 verse 8 and from Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and penitence, let us confess our sin before God and one another. If you join me in unison of our confession. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our offenses against you. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Forgive our sins and help us to live in your life and walk in your ways for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
You may now silently confess if you wish. I'll give you a moment to do that. Amen. We do have the assurance of forgiveness. He can forgive us of anything. And that's from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 today. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God.
You'll turn to number 174 in your hymnal. Hosanna, loud Hosanna.
Before Savetta sings, she asked me to read a couple of verses that would bring a little light to the song she's about to sing. It's from the 116th Psalm, verses 12 and 13. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.
Back to you. Your mercy and your kindness abound. What can I give back to you? I will call on your name, O Lord, my God, and I lift up the God of salvation. I will call on your name, O Lord, my God, and I lift up the cup of praise. To you, O Lord, I will pay my vows, I will call on your name, O Yeshua. To you I bring the sacrifice of thanks, O Yeshua, I'll give you peace. I will call on your name, O Lord, my God, and I salvation. I will call on your name, O Lord, my God, and I lift up the cup of praise. What is so great to me, O Lord? What can I give back to you? Your mercy and your kindness abound. What can I give back to you? I will call on your name, O Lord, my God, and I will touch the God of salvation. I will call on your name, O Lord, my God, and I will touch the cup of praise. I will call on your name, O Lord, my God, and I will touch the God of salvation. I will call on your name, O Lord, my God, and I will touch the cup of praise.
All right, it is children's time. If the boys and girls want to come on down with Miss Andrea. And we are having communion, so there's no children's church today. You'll need to stay here in the church.
Come on, Grace.
This time we express our thanks with the presentation of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Our offertory sentence this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. If the ushers would please come forward.
Hear the words of the writer Luke, as he speaks of or writes of the institution of the Lord's Supper, describing Jesus meeting with the disciples to celebrate the Passover. And while there, at that gathering, he instituted this supper that we celebrate today. When the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." You who are trusting in that broken body as payment for your sin, and that shed blood as being the spiritual agent that cleanses us or removes our sin from us, you're invited to eat and drink from His table, remembering His sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice for you as well as me. I invite Sherry Windrow, Teresa Justice, Paul Campbell, Karen Miles, John Rippey, and Gary Bomar to assist at the table. Small morsel of bread, but it has great, large significance. It signifies the body of the one, the Son of God, who gave His life for us, allowed it to be broken to pay for our sin, even hanged up on a tree. Lord God, we thank You for this piece of bread. Lord, we know that it's more than a piece of bread when we consider the significance behind it. It signifies You giving Yourself through Your Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from sin and Satan, to capture us for Your kingdom and in eternity in a place that we've learned to call heaven. We thank You for that gift of Your Son for us. We thank You, Jesus, that You gave Your life for us. And we thank You that we can come and remember that this morning. Amen. Remember His body broken for you. The vine, crimson in color, representing the crimson blood of Jesus shed for us for the remission of sin. How can crimson blood make us pure and spotless, white as snow? Well, with God all things are possible. He shed His blood for us. Lord, thank You that You cared for us. Thank You that You were willing, Jesus was willing. We humbly come to this table and drink of this cup, remember Your love, Your blood shed because You love. to Jesus Christ. Please drink, remembering His blood shed for you. Thank you.
Now we hear God's Word. Our scripture lesson this morning is from John chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. You can follow along in your Bible. It is also in your insert in your bulletin. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. The Word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
This is not Palm Sunday, but I'm preaching on the passage for Palm Sunday. Because next week, Palm Sunday, the choir will be presenting a cantata, and I felt led, I guess that's why I wanted to, I really felt compelled to try to preach on the Palm Sunday experience plus the Passion experience or Thursday and Friday events also. Now somebody said if you can't say it in 15 or 20 minutes, it probably don't need to be said. Well, so I'll probably say something that don't need to be said this morning. If that is a truism, it may not even be a truism, though. But I will not belabor the time with you, but will not promise that a 15-minute one today. The parade that went sour. You ever been in a parade that went sour? Or maybe the warm welcome that went sour. Ever received, started out to be a warm welcome, and when they learned a little more about you, they were not a warm welcome first, and then it became not so warm? Okay. Maybe you, for some reason, you turned people off. Okay. I've told a story over and over about a parade that went sour for Carol. We got a farm wagon, and worked for weeks to decorate it. We thought we pulled it all over the country, but the night we pulled out on the highway or the street for the parade route, pulled out of the parking lot, bang. A tire blew out. It was a front tire on a farm wagon. The parade was about 2 miles long, and Carol and another lady were sitting on the wagon with a bunch of children. And so all up and down, well, all down the parade route or all through the parade route, that tire got somehow looped around, and it was whoop, whoop. But it made them jump every time. And ask her about it. She hasn't forgotten that experience. She hadn't ridden in a parade since then, I don't think. Is that right? She's avoided parades since then. They were the most popular. No, they wasn't popular. We didn't win that year for having the best parade. But they were the most noticed parade. A lot of people laughed at them. And I happened to be in the car and pulling the wagon. What a failure we thought that was. But we still did what we could to honor Jesus. It was a Christmas parade, and we had the prettiest float. It was a rustic-looking float, and had it was just lovely. Who's ever been to a parade? Who's never been to a parade? Were you in a parade yesterday? On that motorcycle? Motorcycles like to get in parades. Huh? And they go around. They go around and around and around in parades. They wear funny hats. Some of them do. Did you have on a funny looking hat? Okay. Parades. I preached a sermon on parades once and then took it off to another church to preach in a revival. And after it was over, the preacher, friend of mine, said, "You could have left out part of that parade." Okay. little booklet, Sanctuary for Lent. Have you been using that? Sanctuary for Lent. James W. Moore wrote it. And last Monday, the lesson for Lent, James Moore talked about a parade. Hear the story, if you can't remember what was in there. He tells of this, it's an old story, but it's about a country boy. And us country boys have trouble understanding everything sometimes. This boy from the country had heard about the circus, and he wanted more than anything to go see the events of a circus. Now, I wanted to go, and I went once, and that was about enough for me, so I haven't been back. But Mr. Sharpton goes over and over and over every year. He really evidently enjoys circuses, but I think he goes and gives out bulletins or something. But anyhow, this young man wanted to see the circus. So the circus was coming to town, a nearby town, and his dad knew how much he liked or wanted to see it, and so the dad gave the young boy some money for a ticket. The day of the circus, the boy got up early, got cleaned up and dressed up, and went to town to see the circus. He was excited. He was thrilled. He was anxious. You know, he had much anxiety about getting to see this thing that he had anticipated so long. But about midday, about noon, he returned home, and he had all the money he had left with. And he told his dad, and the dad said, "Well, what happened, son? Didn't you go see the circus?" Oh, yes," said the boy. "The circus came right down the street where I was, and I got to see it all, and you know, Dad, it didn't cost me a thing. Nobody even asked for my money. Nobody ever took my money." The father, in desperation, threw up his hands and exclaimed, "Oh, no, son, you didn't really see the circus. You just saw the parade. You only got a glimpse of what was to be. You missed the main event." And there's a danger of us missing the main event when we start talking about Easter. We might just see the parade. There's a danger of us just talking about the parade on Palm Sunday, or the day that we preach on Palm Sunday, which, as I said, is a week early. There's a danger of us missing the main event. That would be tragic. Even on Easter, there's a danger of us missing the main event for us. There's a danger of us missing the crucifixion. Oh, it's not a pretty story. It's not something that we like to hear. And as I mentioned last week when I saw the movie, The Passion of Christ, I didn't want to see it all. I closed my eyes. I didn't want to see the gore that was depicted. And if you read Isaiah 52, it was pretty true to the prophecy. He would be disfigured beyond recognition of some. The prophet had spoken. So I want us to see the parade this morning. I want us to even participate in the parade. If we can, we can have a parade here. I heard of a... talked to my preacher friend one day. He was from the Assembly of God Church, a neighbor down the street, and he said, "Yesterday we had a hallelujah march." And I said, "What's a hallelujah march?" He said, "Well, we got happy and we started playing, so the pianist started playing a rousing song, and we just marched around the building. That was a parade to honor Jesus." If you feel like parading around, you can go back there in that open area and parade around. Or there might be room all here if you really feel like it. I don't expect that, but if you do, we will not call you down till after about 10 minutes, and then we might. I want us to think about the parade. Be in the parade, if not in body, in mind, or in spirit. You know, a lot of church people say, "We were there in spirit." Well, we don't get their offering when they're only there in spirit, unless they mail it in, and we don't get to shake hands with them. Okay, we'd rather shake hands with them than to have their offering too, I will quickly say that. But y'all joke about that a lot too. So that was only a joke about the offering, okay? Let's see the parade, maybe even march in it, but let's not forget the main event. And the main event's in two parts. The main event for us, the most important part I think for us, is paying the price for our sin. Dying in our place, the crucifixion. But that's not the end of the story. The second part of the main event came on Sunday when Christ arose. Christ arose. So today, I want to talk about the parade just a bit, and then I want to talk about the passion, or leading up to the crucifixion. And 2 weeks from today, we hope to rejoice greatly. Even next Sunday, I think the cantata will enable us or lead us in rejoicing greatly in the last half or the second part of the main event, the resurrection. What about the parade? Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem, and the people were there to welcome him, and one of the Gospels even talk about them coming with him from outside the city. They welcomed him with open arms, or some of them did. And those parades that you have seen, that you have marched in, and hopefully you wasn't in the band and marched behind the horses. I don't know why they line them up that way, but they did. I was never in the band, and maybe that was the reason. Or maybe I couldn't play an instrument, or maybe we just didn't have a band at our school. But whatever, you may have been in the parade. You may have ridden in the parade. That one that Carol was in, she was going to ride in it. Since we've been having parades here in Nolensville, sometimes I would walk in the parade. As years went on, I learned to run and hop on that wagon and ride. And as Mr. Jack pulled the wagon, you're a lot more rested when you get down to the Methodist Church coming from Piggly Wiggly or the post office if you ride a little bit. So you may have ridden, or you may have walked in a parade or marched in a parade, or you may have just observed. Usually there is a central figure in the parade. First one I ever saw, I remember when it was, where I stood, what the name of the store was behind me, and it was basically at the corner of 5th and Main. The parade was going down Main Street in Columbus, Mississippi, Highway 82, and they were going west. I was a little bitty fella, and I was cold. Mississippi does get cold. Who do you think was the main character in that parade? Bunny Rabbit? Did somebody say Bunny Rabbit? Santa Claus! Santa Claus was the main character. Another parade I went to, a president was there. I think it was President Jimmy Carter. We went downtown Nashville and waved as he went by. Whether he saw us and recognized us, I don't know. But we waved. Central character. If you don't have a central character of like Santa Claus or a president, you might have a war hero coming home, or might have many war heroes coming home. But you also, if you don't have anybody, you select a grand marshal of the parade. And that's kind of an honor. There's some central figure. Jesus was the central figure in that Palm Sunday parade so many years ago. You can read about him in John 12, and that's what we did. But you can also find him in Mark chapter 11. If you have your Bible, I'm going to point out some verses you may want to follow, you may want to remember if you have a good memory. And you may not care, but hopefully you do. You can find it in Mark 11. You can find also the Palm Sunday Parade, the original one, Matthew 21, or Luke 19. Matthew 21, Luke 19, Mark 11, and John 12. A warm welcome Jesus received in every one of them. They all tell of Jesus receiving a warm welcome from some of the people. Now, there were people in the background that just rather Jesus wouldn't be there. He was kind of disturbing their apple cart, so to speak. Who were these that offered such a welcome? People who had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. 12th chapter of John is about Jesus, or this portion is about Jesus entering Jerusalem. 11th chapter of John is about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And some people, it was out at Bethany, not too far away from Jerusalem, and the people had witnessed this. They had witnessed the raising of a 4-day-old death. A person been dead 4 days, put in a tomb, already smelling, according to the testimony of those around, or the fears of those around, and Jesus calls this man forth from the grave, Lazarus. And they kept telling that miracle. They kept telling it over and over and over. And because they were telling it, many came out to see. Also, many came out to hope, I'm assuming, that he would perform another miracle. At least if they wouldn't perform another miracle, they wanted to see one who could do miracles. I'm sure that the parents pointed, look at there, son. Look at there, daughter. There's that man that raised that man from the dead. Luke also says, if you turn to Luke, that the people of the crowd began to rejoice and praise God for all of the mighty miracles and works of power that they had witnessed. Now, both of the songs that we, 174 and 175, was that the two songs that we opened with? Those two songs, both of them mention the children, just the children welcoming Jesus and waving the palm branches. Did you notice that? Well, other people were there too. They were not only children there. I guess somebody had to bring the children. As Brother Vickers says about building Sunday school, you can't build a Sunday school without a children because children don't drive. I guess children couldn't ride the donkey by themselves or the horse. So there's some adults there also. They were rejoicing and they were praising God for all the mighty miracles and works of power. That's how Luke described it, that they had witnessed. Not only children, but others too. A royal welcome on that Sunday. A royal welcome. But Jesus knew. He knew that things would soon change. He knew that things were going to turn sour. Jesus did not please many of the religious leaders. Either later that day or the next day, I can't determine just which one it was, he went to the temple and drove out the money changers and the merchants. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday were days of teaching, and things went downhill all week. Or the popular phrase seems to be now, things went south all week. Thursday night. We come to Thursday night, the Passover celebration. Jesus met with the disciples to observe the Passover. And there, he instituted this sacrament for the Christian church, the sacrament that we call the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper or Holy Communion or the Eucharist, which is another word for Thanksgiving. And then after the supper, he and the disciples went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Mark chapter 14, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's one of those things that I want to just read to you right now. And they came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here until I have prayed. And he took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. So they knew he was hurting, he was troubled, he was grieving. And he left Peter, James, and John with that message, and he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for thee. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what thou wilt. Jesus didn't say, chomp at the bit, so to speak, to get to the cross. He was saying, Father, could you remove this? Would you remove this from me? You can do it another way. All things are possible. You can choose another way to redeem mankind. But then he said, not what I want, Lord. Not what I want, Father, but what you want. I'm willing to do it. And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came a third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. the hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. It had gone sour. The tide had turned against him. Abandoned. William Barclay says that Mark points out that all who could have helped him abandoned him, especially the 12. All of them abandoned him. He was repeatedly abandoned by those who could have given him support and strength. The Last Supper, they all drank the cup. The Last Supper, they all pledged loyalty till death. But when the going got tough, they all abandoned him. And while he was there in the garden, one of his betrayed him. John 18, verse 1 and following speaks of it. Then he was arrested. He was led away to the courtyard. There Peter denied him. Peter had said, I'll stand with you. But then when the threat to his life came, he denied him, denied even knowing him, did it 3 times. And then he stood before Annas, John 18, 19 through 24. And then he was sent over to Caiaphas, John 18, 28. Then he was sent to Pilate. And then we turn to the Gospel of Luke and find that he went to Herod. And then back to Pilate. And then he was given over to a screaming crowd. Or one version, one gospel says he was turned over to the chief priest, the rulers, and the people. And we know about how they cried, crucify him, crucify him. Luke chapter 23. And then the trial being over, they came to the place called, well, there was the trip from the courtyard to the hill of execution, Calvary, or Golgotha, shaped like a skull. And on the way, there was the humiliation. And then there was the crucifixion. And then came the death. It is finished. That's the main event for our benefit. The resurrection showed that death could not hold him, that God was stronger than death. But death could not hold him. But for our benefit, paying for our sin, bearing our sin in his body on a tree, being cursed for us, one who hangs on a tree is cursed. That's what the Old Testament said. And Jesus was hanged on the tree, cursed for us. Yes, it turned sour. That warm welcome. What does that mean to us? You have to decide that. Let's sing 185. Let's sing all the verses. When I survey the wondrous cross. Stand together if you will. 185. Think of the words as you sing. Some people stand up and sing and they say, don't listen to how we sing. Listen to the words. Well, let's listen to how we sing it, but let's listen to the words also. The words also. 185. All verses. Maybe you want to respond publicly to God's love to you, inviting you to open the door and let Him into your life to save you. He died that might happen. Maybe this is the day to just say, I claim.
Sister David England built the frame for you. Many of you purchased this beautiful cross in the back. You'll notice as you go out, and then Paul and Lewis and David put it up or installed it yesterday. So notice that. We want to acknowledge their work and your contribution to keep the cross before us. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace today and, yes, even through eternity. Amen. You're dismissed.
You gonna take the other one with you and get it scorched?
Thank you.